I've always been the only black person, and it always used to be a joke. People would call me like the token black kid, and it used to be funny. It's not funny anymore. But yeah, it's just awkward pulling in into my own neighborhood and wondering how my neighbors feel about it. Turning my music down as I get closer to my driveway. Checking mail when it's not an opportune moment for people to stare at me. Like, it's a lot of the things that I think about that I know other people don't think about, or is what I think about. And I remember when the protests were first happening and people were looting right at Target. I live in the neighborhood right across the street from Target. I sheltered in place religiously after that because I didn't want my neighbors to feel uncomfortable around me. And I was pretty much policing myself in my own house where I'm paying taxes on. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, wow, I'm paying this mortgage every month and I don't feel comfortable living here. And I've had just really bad experiences with one neighbor in particular. It started out as her just, you know, telling me to take care of my lawn with offhand comments over the fence. And then one day she knocked on my door and I let her in and we were just talking normally, like, hey, how are things going? And then she mentioned that she had fallen down trying to put up borders on the fence to prevent my weeds from growing into her lawn. I don't even have weeds by the fence. And was saying how, like, we're friends and how she stands up for me and how neighbors have been talking and they're concerned with the number of people I have in and out of my house. People are talking, they think you're dealing drugs, and I always tell them, you're not, you're a teacher, but, you know, I can make things really hard for you. Is it the exact word she said? After that moment, the anxiety was really high because I'm not in a position where I can live alone. I have roommates. And so I was always, ever since then, caught between this, like, what, do I evict my roommates and try to make it work so these rumors can stop? Knowing that, I'm pretty sure she made those rumors up. People don't get around and talk about me and say I'm a drug dealer. But she used that to kind of, like, scare me, really. And then her whole thing was, as long as I promise to get someone to come look at my yard, she won't make things hard for me. So now I have Weed Man coming, and it's just like, wow, I'm spending more money that I don't have to appease a neighbor who doesn't feel comfortable for whatever reason. And she said it's because of my yard, but, like, is it?
And so, are your other roommates black, too?
Yeah, I have a roommate who's mixed. At that time, I had two black roommates and two white males. And all of us are gay except one person. And so, like, I was always wondering, like, what is this really coming from? Like, which part of me does she not like? And so and now I'm down to just, there's three of us now. So, yeah.
And when did this occur?
This happened last year, last summer. No, it wasn't last summer. It was right before snow was going to hit. Because I was like, I'll just do it after the snow melts.
And so, what emotions, what thoughts ran through your mind at that moment when that occurred?
First, it was anger. And then the fear set in. Like, I posted about it right away on Facebook, and then, like, it became fear. The words that, like, stuck in my mind and still stick in my mind is, like, I can make things really hard for you. And so I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, what the heck? And so, like, everything I'm working for, like, or owning my first house, like, she could take that away from me. It was pretty much, and I still think about it. When I'm cutting my grass every week, I still think about, let me make sure it's nice and tidy. You know, and it sucks to feel that way. After a long day of teaching, going home to a house that, you know, people around you could feel some sort of way about you. And I don't think that is true. Like, I don't think the neighbors really got together and said, oh, I think they're dealing drugs. I think she fabricated that part to kind of have leverage. But it's still in the back of my mind when I go on run, I'm still, like, head down, looking straight, like, straight ahead. Like, I'm not making eye contact with anyone. So it sucks to feel that way in my own, like, home, you know?
And when she says, I can make things hard for you, in your mind, what specifically does that mean? Like, what ways could she make that hard for you?
In my mind, she's going to call the cops. She's going to call the cops and say, look, this person is against town and normal ordinance. He has all these people living under his home, which is ultimately why I had to downsize in roommates. A lot of them had plans to move away anyways, but it was always, like, it was always in the back of my mind, like, well, eventually I have to live alone because even though I can't afford to right now, she could have that for a reason to call the police. And it's not like I'm afraid of normal police. My best friend is a police officer with normal police, one of my best friends. But I still knew what those words meant. Like, I can make things really hard for you. Pretty much, she was saying, if I don't want you in this neighborhood, I can make it so. So I'm like, okay, great. So now what do I do?
And when you tell people, like, you know, your family, your friends, you talk to your roommates, other people about that, what is their reaction? Or, like, what thoughts, what advice do they give you in these instances?
And I'm glad you asked, because honestly, like, I didn't even think anything about it. I thought it was more of a, like, wow, this girl is really so obsessed with, like, clean lawns. She wants the whole block to have nice manicured lawns. And until I posted about it on Facebook, a lot of my friends and friends in my circle kind of helped me realize, like, maybe this was coming from, like, a place of, like, racism. And at first, I'm like, well, it can't be. Like, she's Asian. You know what I mean? Like, what? Surely she's not racist against me. But those words, that can make things really hard for you. I'm like, because there's other lawns around us that also don't cut their grass 3 times a week. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, why me? Like, it's not like we have loud parties. You know, all of us were workers, so we're in and out. So, like, what is the issue here?
That also leads to a discussion that's often had in the Black community, actually amongst minorities, about prejudice amongst minority groups. Are they still internalizing those stereotypes that has been placed on the Black community?
I think they definitely are. And I think it's just because we are, like, conditioned to feel this sort of way about Black people. We're taught to associate certain qualities to certain behaviors. And even myself, when everyone saw me in my new car, I even find myself joking. I'm like, yeah, I have a drug dealer car. And then it's funny at first, and then I'm like, why do I associate tinted windows with drug dealing? Why are people associating a Black person driving this car as a drug dealer? Why does she say, neighbors got together and we think you're a drug dealer? Like, why that behavior particularly? And so it's like, that was reinforced at some point in her life that, oh yeah, if a Black person has money, they're probably dealing drugs. You know what I mean? And it's like, dang. Honestly, these are things that I didn't really think about, because I've just been normalizing it my entire life up until this point. I'll be 31 in a couple weeks. So it took me 31 years to, like, reflect on all these little things that have happened in my life. And it's like, wow.
And it brings up, you know, the whole idea of intersectional identities, being Black and a part of the LGBTQ community versus just being a straight Black man. Like, how do you feel like that shown in your life through these instances?
You're always, as a gay Black male, policing yourself. Even for this interview, I'm like, how should I talk? Should I try to sound deeper, to appear straight? Should I talk the way I talk with my friends, or should this be my teacher voice? And so everywhere I go, I'm always considering those things. When I'm presenting at conferences, which Brandon will I present today? You know, when I'm meeting new kids every fall, when I'm interacting with parents, when I'm meeting friends of friends, how should I present myself? Knowing that I might be the first Black person they've met. And so everything I do, it's going to shape their opinion of a Black person. And then secondary thinking, oh, or I might be the first gay person they meet. And so this is going to shape how they feel about queerness. And so those are, like, always conversations that I have. And I always thought, well, everyone has this when they're meeting new people, right? When you're meeting a new situation, you're always thinking, how should I talk? How should I behave? How should I dress? I don't think that's true. Now, it's definitely something that I consider, even when thinking about this interview, like the entire, well, we scheduled it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I have been literally anxious the entire time. Talking to friends, talking to family, I'm like, what am I going to say? What can I say that will do the least amount of damage to the white people in my life? Mm-hmm. What can I say where they won't be reading this back and think, is he talking about me? What can I say where people won't think, Brandon, there he goes again, talking, giving interviews. You know, like, what can I say that's going to be, like, the least amount damage to make them feel good about our relationship and about themselves? Up until to the moment you called, I was thinking that. And then when you're like, we're having technical difficulties, I'm like, good, I get, like, 3 more minutes to kind of, like, calm down. And so I think about that. What can I say? Should I share that I'm a teacher? Should I just say, oh, I'm just Brandon Thornton? Like, what can I say where people aren't going to be like, I kind of feel uncomfortable with what you said here? Because that happens to me often.
And to you, what do you think is the difference between just simply saying, hey, we're diverse, we're inclusive, we're, you know, with the Black community versus actually showing that.
We're in a generation now where people want action, right? And so words in a paper don't really mean much. And I think there's a lot of youth leadership, specifically in Bloomington Normal right now, who have action items. And I don't think they're being heard. And I think we need to listen to the people who are saying, I'm in a place of hurt. Here's what I would like to see happen. And a lot of them are things that we can reasonably do tomorrow. And a lot of them are things that districts are already doing. But saying you're doing it and actually committing to doing it and being transparent about it are two different things. Because I say a lot of things in my course syllabus. There are no phones allowed in my classroom. And I promise you, phones are out of my classroom every day. So there's a disconnect between saying something and actively working to make this a reality. And for kids, like, action plans don't mean much to them, right? Like, they want to put it in their language where it's like, cool, I'm proud to be at this school because I know they're doing this. I'm proud to be a Redbird because I know they're doing this. Releasing, like, 40-page documents and all this stuff is cool. Like, for an adult, for someone in academia, yes, I love it. But for, like, the people who are hurting and for kids who are in your school or recent alumni, like, it would just be better if they just said, these are the things we're doing. And there was, like, a regular checkup sort of type system.
You mentioned that you get online and discover the pockets of racism that exists in our community. What do you mean by that?
If you read the comments, for anyone reading this right now, even when this is published on Facebook and Twitter, you're going to read the comments and people are going to say, wow, get this man out of education. Look what he's endorsing Black Lives Matter. He's saying this. He's saying this and that. Why don't you get off your butt and get a job instead of giving an interview? I see those comments all the time. All the time. Every time I share an article, if I look at the comments, it's always someone saying, it's all about choices. All lives matter. We're here because of the choices you make. Maybe put yourself in a position and stop breaking the law and you wouldn't be a hashtag. Just like awful things like that. Well, it sucks to know that they could be in my community. Like, I don't know who these people are because their profiles are usually locked up on private, but, like, they could be parents of my students. They could be students. They could be coworkers. I don't know. I trust that they aren't the latter, but it makes me sad. It makes me sad, to be honest, that that's what my community feels. For a peaceful student protest, they still found something to criticize. And one of them was even talking about the kids' weight, making fun of the kids' hairstyles. I'm like, wow, like, imagine having that much hate where you feel the need to go on a comment and just talk about kids, talk about youth who are getting out there and marching for things they believe in while simultaneously accusing students of not caring about anything and only being on their phones. Now that they're caring about things and not marching, you still have issues.